to the Extra Magic Hour, a Disney Parks podcast. Here are your hosts, Anne Ravanos and Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome to another edition of the Extra Magic Hour. I'm Dimitri.
I'm Anne.
And no Kat this week because she is down in Disney World, so we'll talk to her next week. So I will get us started with the news. Disney podcaster James Carter, who hosts the Creepy Kingdom podcast, has set a premiere date for his Haunted Mansion documentary, Foolish Mortals. Carter and his team will hold a special world premiere event for the movie on July 15th in Anaheim. Foolish Mortals does take a look at the ride itself, but focuses mainly on the fan culture that has sprung up around it. You can find a teaser for Foolish Mortals on YouTube this week, and you can get tickets and learn more about the movie by going to foolishmortalsdoc.com. Okay.
I'm going to be silent after every story.
Exclusive merchandise from Star Wars The Last Jedi will make its debut at the Disney park soon. First, these designs will be available at Star Wars Celebration in Orlando starting on April 13th. After that, these shirts and pins will be available at only select locations across property, including the Launch Bay and Tatooine Traders. At the studios, Merchant of Venus, in the Magic Kingdom, and the Star Wars Outpost at Disney Springs. A percentage of sales from all of these products will go to J.J. Abrams' Force for Change program, which benefits UNICEF. I don't know if that is for a limited time or throughout the time that they will be in the parks. Have you seen any of these designs? Okay.
No, I haven't.
People are making a big deal out of the way Rey looks in these, because I guess she has a different hairstyle now, which to me does not seem like a big deal. She looks like somebody that used to live, in the first picture, lived in a dust-covered, hollowed-out shell, and now lives in a house.
What's the big difference?
Well, I mean, the only difference to me is she looks like she's bathed, but apparently it is a big deal that she is wearing her hair down and not up in a bun.
Oh, my God.
Huh?
How dare she?
Well, sis, people take this stuff very seriously.
What's the world coming to?
I hear that, girl. We've got another restaurant closing at Disney Springs. Portobello will close on April 23rd for a lengthy refurbishment. No exact date is given for reopening. The company just says the space will reopen in the fall with a new menu from James Beard award-winning chef Tony Mantuano. It is worth noting that Portobello isn't owned by Disney, but by Levy Restaurants, who just opened Fulton's, or I guess reopened Fulton's, as Paddlefish, so it's not unreasonable to assume Portobello may come back with a new identity. I don't think you've ever eaten at Portobello before, right?
No, I don't even know where it is.
So it is that Italian restaurant that is immediately to the right of what used to be Fulton's, what is now Paddlefish. It looks like, from the outside and honestly from the inside too, it looks like it could be any, like, Carrabba's, Olive Garden kind of place that you could find anywhere. The food is not awful, but there's definitely better options down at Disney Springs. It would not surprise me, if it comes back as something different, because I think, I could be wrong about this, but I think Portobello has a reputation of being sort of subpar for restaurants on property there in Disney Springs.
Yeah, I don't even know what this place looks like.
Like I said, I mean, it looks like it came right out of a strip mall. It could be from anywhere. You should be worth noting, if you don't know, by the way, the James Beard Awards are like the Oscars of the food world. So whoever Tony Mantuano is, I'm guessing the goal is to kick up the food reputation a little bit, which obviously they could stand to do. So I'll be interested to see what they do, because God knows we don't need another, pasta and pizza Italian restaurant in Disney Springs.
I hope they bring a Sbarro over there.
Oh, man, sis, it's about time. I mean, it's supposed to be such a fancy place, they don't even have a damn Sbarro.
I was watching this episode of The Office the other day where Michael goes.
His favorite New York pizza place.
Yeah.
Our rumor this week comes from Disboard. So remember, anybody could post anything at that site. So if you want to take this with a grain of salt, go ahead. But this does sort of continue a string of rumors that have been out there for a while. But our rumor is that a ride may be coming to Epcot's UK Pavilion as part of the revitalization effort for Epcot in time for Disney World's 50th anniversary in 2021. Speculation is that the ride would be based on the upcoming movie Mary Poppins Returns, which is due out next year, and stars Emily Blunt as Mary.
I am excited to see that one.
I am not averse to seeing the movie. I like Emily Blunt. I could see how she's a very good fit for Mary Poppins. I think this is a weird idea for the ride, because look, we've heard before that Ratatouille, the ride that is in Disneyland Paris, is going to be a part of Epcot's 50th anniversary in the France Pavilion. Obviously, we know what has happened with Norway. Jim Hill has reported that it is the hope that the next Disney Princess movie, which is called Gigantic, which is going to be a take on Jack and the Beanstalk, it's a hope that that's a big hit, and that would spur a Spain pavilion coming in time for the 50th anniversary. It's just Mary Poppins is a very weird property to connect a ride to. I don't know what you would do with it.
Yeah, but I think you could make that case for a lot of rides that they have to, like, what would you do with some of the rides? I mean, I don't know. I think they could make a really good ride out of it.
No, I'm sure they could. You know what? So the other rumor here, and I didn't include this part of the rumor because I think that as new stuff comes to Epcot, you're going to see characters included more and more and more. So it seems likely to me that if a ride is indeed coming to the UK, it would be Mary Poppins or something with that kind of connection. The other rumor is it could have something to do, it could be a water-based ride that has something to do with the Loch Ness Monster, which would be cool and does go along with, I don't know if you've ever heard the story that one of the first drafts of the Japan Pavilion had a roller coaster that was supposed to be a bullet train, like you were trying to escape from Godzilla attacking Tokyo.
Oh, cool.
I think that the days of rides based on the country's folklore are probably over at Epcot.
Yeah, I would agree.
So it would be interesting. I wonder if they do start trying to put rides at more pavilions and they want to include characters, like, would there be a ride coming to Japan? Would there be a ride coming to Canada? These places that characters don't immediately spring to mind for?
It'd be nice. Something needs to happen in the World Showcase.
Okay.
Okay.
So we've got some rumors to get to this week. It is a shorter show because of everybody's schedule, but we did want to give you something this week. We didn't want to go 2 weeks without an episode. So stick around. You're inside the Extra Magic Hour.
Hey everyone, it's Kat. We all know planning a Walt Disney World vacation takes a lot of time and effort. You gotta choose a resort, book dining, and choose fast passes. Well, I want to take the stress out of your vacation. Book your vacation with me through Magical Travel, and your trip planning will become as easy as pie. I'll take care of all the fine details for you at no additional cost. What's great about it is that you won't have to wake up early to get those hard-to-book reservations like Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Royal Table. I'll do my best to make your vacation the most fun and relaxing it can be. Even better, when you book a trip with me, I'll throw in a Disney gift card for you. Email me for a free quote at katarina@magicaltravel.com. That's katarina at magicaltravel.com. P.S. I also do all other Disney affiliates, so if you want to venture outside of the world, I will be able to help you there too. So what are you waiting for? Let's make your next trip magical.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Hey, Anne!
Hey.
Why are you so down?
Shut up.
What? Don't tell me to shut up. Is that why? I just wanted to know why you're so down.
Because I'm reading a really sad story about two Domino Pizza workers that saved a man's life.
Why is that sad? Did you want the guy to die?
No, it's just sad that he got hurt.
Did he get hurt by Domino's?
No, he hadn't ordered a pizza in 11 days and something was fishy about it, so Domino's called the police.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing at that, but that is funny. All right, if you want to email us, emhpodcast@gmail.com. We have six to get through today. The first one from Dylan in Greenville. Hey, guys, I was thinking about the two-minute-a-mouse snack gauntlet the other day and started wondering what would be the right one to skip or swap out if I could. I don't know what I would skip. I kind of like them all. What would you skip, and what would you swap it out for?
You're going to have to remind me what's in the snack gauntlet.
What is the snack gauntlet?
Shows how much we care about Two Men in the Mouth.
I mean, I know Kevin often posts about the snack gauntlet, but I've never heard what is actually in the snack gauntlet.
No one cares about Kevin Kessler.
All right, don't say that. I care about him very much. He's a good man. Okay, all right, I'm looking at it now. So it's a turkey leg, a cronut, a funnel cake, a churro, popcorn, a Mickey bar, Dole Whip, pretzel, and kakigori.
All right, I would skip turkey leg, popcorn, churro.
Is this you only get to skip one?
Too bad, I do what I want.
No, you only get to skip one.
Then I would skip the popcorn. The popcorn's always stale.
Agreed. What would you change it with?
Bring back the cream cheese pretzel.
Okay. Even though I do not like the Dole Whip, I would skip turkey leg because they're so expensive, and you never finish, and C, you always feel like crap after the turkey leg.
I haven't ever really – well, the only reason I wouldn't get rid of the turkey leg is because it is such a classic. You don't have to eat all of it, do you?
No, you don't have to eat all of it. But, I mean, if aren't turkey legs like $14?
I thought they were like $6.
I don't think that's right.
I don't think your face is right.
Okay, hey, you don't need to talk that way to me. Turkey leg, Disney World price. Let's see, the jumbo turkey leg. Dot, dot, dot. In 2013, the jumbo turkey leg went for $9.50. So I'm going to guess it's like $11.50. That's a lot of money for something you're only going to take like 6 bites of.
But if you share it with people.
Yeah, but see, I realize it's classic. I would argue nobody actually likes it.
I would argue that nobody actually likes you.
Dang, I walked right into that.
Oh.
Very similar to the pork shank that they had at Gaston's.
Tried it.
Enticing, but just a terrible purchase the second you get it.
I would also say no to the churro soups. The churros in Disney World are gross. Now if you go to Disneyland,
all
the churros.
That's where the churros reign supreme.
Yeah.
I would say if I'm getting rid of the turkey leg, I am swapping it out with all right, I don't know if this would count because this isn't something you get from a snack stand, but I would go with, you know, those cookies that come from the Chip and Company Cookie Company? The little cellophane wrapped ones you can get in like every gift shop that are huge and thick and come in like either chocolate peanut butter, chocolate chip, or I think raspberry chocolate swirl.
Yeah.
I think those are pretty great. Also, the cheeseburger egg rolls in Fantasyland, or excuse me, in Adventureland, but you have to get there before 2 o'clock or they're gone.
I always wanted to try one of those before I did the whole vegan thing, but there were pickles in them, so I never did.
Yeah, I don't think you would like it at all.
Yeah, sounds disgusting.
They're not disgusting, they're delicious.
Didn't they sell regular egg rolls too?
Yeah, they do. The cheeseburger is one of the options. They do sell the regular egg rolls there.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Anne and Dimitri, do you guys remember the magic restaurant that was supposed to be a part of MGM Studios that never opened? I want to say this was around the same time as Tower of Terror was supposed to open. There were signs. I think David Blaine was involved somehow. Is that why all his specials are on ABC now? Do you know whatever happened there, Charlie in Washington?
Isn't this the restaurant that was supposed to be where Playhouse Disney is?
No. What you're thinking of, Playhouse Disney was a restaurant before it became a theater. I know exactly what this guy is talking about. It was not David Blaine. It was David Copperfield. And the name of this restaurant was, I think it was called Magic Underground. And it was going to be kind of,
When was this?
This was, man, is he right? He might be right that this was around the time that Tower of Terror opened, or maybe it was around the time. No, you know what it was? It would have been right after Tower of Terror opened as they were building the Fantasmic Theater.
No, I don't remember this.
Yeah, so what the deal was supposed to be was this was going to be like the way Rainforest Cafe is at Animal Kingdom, meaning you don't have to be in the park to be able to go into the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And it was, I can't remember if David Copperfield owned it or if they were just using his name, but he had designed illusions in the restaurant, and it was, you know, like the Hard Rock Cafe or Planet Hollywood of Magic, basically. And he was very specific about the way these illusions had to look, and they had to be built in such a way that no matter where you were sitting, you couldn't see how the tricks were done. They were going to open one. The plan was to open one in Times Square in New York and open one in Disney World almost back to back. And the one in Times Square in New York got so expensive that they had to walk away from that, and there was no money to even break ground on the Disney World project.
What were they putting in there?
I'm sorry?
I said, what were they putting in there to make it so expensive?
I know that the New York one had a 35-foot tall statue of David Copperfield out front. And they had, I mean, like, so one of the things that the New York one kind of ran into problems with is they would start building something. Copperfield would change his mind about how it needed to be situated so that the trick wasn't given away. And they couldn't just take it off the wall and move it because these are big, heavy animatronic pieces of equipment. They'd have to rip out whole walls and rebuild in order to reposition these things.
Hmm.
So that the cost got just insane. But that is the restaurant that you're thinking of, Charlie. All right, the next one from Seth in Connecticut. Hi, guys. I was just listening to Dimitri's interview about the Society of Explorers and Adventurers and was intrigued by the idea of a Disney Sea movie. Do you have any idea how you would like to see that play out? Yes, as a movie. I don't know. The thing is, I don't know enough about the backstory of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers. I would have to, and this is one of the things that Brian and I were talking about in that interview, I would like to go back, be able to go back in time and look at the old Adventurers Club now through the lens of this and see what we had missed that whole time and see how long this story has been coming together. I don't even know how to begin to answer your question, Seth, just because there's so many different stories, it seems like, involved in this world that a movie could play out any one of a million different ways.
Dang.
Okay.
I have no input because I don't know anything about it.
From the question was for me, not for you.
Okay,
jeez. Tori from Tori in Mississippi. Hi, what in your opinion is the can't-miss character experience in the parks right now?
I mean, you'll know better than I do because I don't do characters and your kids do, so.
I mean, Chewbacca, obviously, is way high up there. I would say, boy, what's his name? Baymax is also very good in Epcot. Those would be my two, I guess. I mean, you've done Chewbacca. Like, you could speak to, like, that's a cool experience.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's really the only one I've done, so I'd be kind of biased.
Are you afraid you're going to hurt other characters' feelings?
Yes.
All right. This one is from Carrie in Florida. Dimitri, on your last trip to WDW, you didn't give us anywhere in WDW. Am I pooping clues on the Facebook page? Also, you haven't done a zippity-poo-dah in a while. What's the deal? Have you stopped using the bathroom in Disney World?
We're all constipated.
I hold it the whole time. It's just unbecoming. No, actually, I thought about doing a wearing WDW and my pooping, but I, for some reason, had this feeling like I just don't want everyone to know I'm down here all the time.
Because you're so famous.
I really am, sis. Like, if I let people know, there'd be lines just to get in parks.
To be chasing me the whole time.
I mean, like, have you seen those old Beatles movies? That's kind of what it's like for me when people find out I'm at Disney World. Or like the spoofs of those, or not spoofs, but like the version of that they would do in the old Disneyland sing-along videos where a child would go walking by and Goofy would come flipping along behind him holding a camera. We do need to do some more zippity-poo-dahs. It's been a while.
Yeah, let's do it.
Where's your favorite place to poop in Disney?
On the floor.
But what floor, sis?
I mean, the Grand Floridian, because I like to be classy about it.
That's a good one. I like to do it right in the middle of Ellen's energy adventure. And just be like, change this damn ride. All right, the last one from Tanya in Indiana. Hey, Anne and Dimitri, I was listening to the episode where Dimitri did his trip report the other day. I had never heard you tell that story before about the rude cast member at Epcot Starbucks. I don't know how I would have dealt with that. It kind of made me want to cry because things like that aren't supposed to happen in Disney World. Dimitri, how did you keep your cool? Well, I kept my cool because it didn't happen to me. It happened to Anne. So it was really easy for me to keep my cool.
Thanks for paying attention.
And how'd you keep your cool?
Because
I don't remember you losing it.
No, I didn't lose it. I don't know. I think I was just so taken aback that she did it so blatantly right in front of my face.
I mean, there are times when someone is that kind of rude that you're impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I was impressed, but I don't know. I guess I don't really like to make a scene necessarily in public, so that's probably why I kept my cool, but I was not happy about it at all.
So this was something that I think Kevin and I talked about one time when we were down there together. He was saying that he would ask to speak to a manager if someone was rude to him, and he said it was because he comes through Disney because they have a reputation for great customer service. That's part of the experience. I would just, when I'm in those situations, I would just like to be done with those situations and not spend any more time on it. Where do you come down?
I'm kind of in the middle. I would want to do what Kevin said, but I wouldn't because I've worked in customer service for so long that I never want to be that person. Like, right. Let me see your manager person. So usually I just walk away from it. Thinking about it, what I should have done instead of complaining to like that Starbucks manager, that's when I should have gone to the concierge and asked to talk to like an upper level somewhere, you know, because honestly, at the end of the day, I really don't think anything would have been done about it either way, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Disney probably would have done something to quote unquote make it right. Right. But I can't. You mean you don't think anything would be done like discipline wise to that girl?
Not even to that girl, just about, I mean, the whole situation of just kind of, because I do remember that trip specifically. It was kind of not a big string, but there were more rude cast members than there were nice ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think at that point when the Starbucks thing happened, I think I was just so fed up that I didn't know what to do. So I just kind of looked at her in shock and walked away from it, you know? And I don't even know if that would have been a big enough complaint for Disney to make it right in any other way than saying, I'm so sorry, and giving me like a free Starbucks drink, which I don't care, you know, like, I don't know.
I bet they would have opened up the time machine and taken you back and made it all better.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, and maybe it's because like the Disney World bubble as a whole is not important to me. Or I think you too, when we're there. Someone being rude to me at Disney World is no different in my mind than someone being rude to me anywhere else. I understand what was this emailer's name? I understand what Tanya is saying, but it's not something that would, I don't know, it wouldn't affect me any differently because it's Disney World.
See, I'm a little different on that just because, and I know I've said this before, just because I have worked there and I know I mean, we had to go through weeks of classes on customer service and like personalities and all this stuff before we could even start our job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know how severe or just how strict they were the years that I worked there. And I don't know. So I think I stand a little differently to where it does bother me a little bit. It doesn't bother me enough to have to, you know, pitch a fit about it and ruin my whole day and ruin everybody's day that I'm with to go, you know, complain and start a scene. But it is, it does make me, I think it makes me more sad than anything, because that is one of the reasons I do like going to Disney. Like, that part of the Disney bubble is a part that I like.
Mm-hmm.
The people are just friendly and you don't have to deal with just people being, just having attitudes all the time, you know? And it's like the one place you can go to get away from it. And now it's like, can't even do that anymore. And that kind of sucks.
So I'll put this out there for people to email us, emhpodcast@gmail.com, or I'll put this on the Facebook page too. I wonder if the difference in our approaches has to do with me having kids and you not, only because there is that constant feeling when you are responsible for kids of, we've got to get to the next thing. And I wonder if just that attitude of not a lot of time to stop and rest carries over in the way, I hate to say it this way because it sounds so pathetic, but if it carries over into the way you allow yourself to be treated just in the name of, you know, I've got to get my however many 8 or 9 experiences in to feel like I've got my money's worth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. All right. If you want to email us, emhpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. And one of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Butt Squad Radio, the perilous pop culture powerhouse of the White Dragon Podcast Network, is back every other Sunday with the latest and greatest nerd news, fun facts, and overbearing opinions that you never even knew you wanted to hear. Check it out on iTunes, Stitcher, and WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com.
Dave, what are you doing?
I'm doing the voiceover for our commercial.
Why the hell are you using that stupid announcer horse voice that you use?
I thought it would be funny.
No, it's awful, and we only had a minute for this. You used up like almost the entire thing.
But a lot of people like my announcer voice.
What a waste.
Bat Squad Radio, folks, the pop culture power hour, dropping every other Sunday on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
The extra magic hour is just about over.
Aww.
But first, it's time for the glorious 3-hour finale.
All right, sis, before we go, there is some interesting news coming out, not only about Typhoon Lagoon, but also of Volcano Bay over in Universal. Have you seen this stuff? And I think some restaurants around the country are kind of adopting this too. Try to eliminate lines completely at these resorts.
Wait, say that again?
So the brand new ride, the brand new slide that opened at Typhoon Lagoon this week is called Misfortune Falls. And then you have Volcano Bay, the water-based theme park that is about to open at Universal Studios. And their plan, their goal, is to completely eliminate lines from their rides.
From the water slide rides?
Yeah.
How the heck are they going to do that?
So, at Volcano Bay, It's going to involve a version of the Magic Band that you cannot take with you. I would assume at Typhoon Lagoon, since you have your Magic Band anyway, it's just going to be tied in to the Magic Band. But basically, you go up to the kiosk in front of the line, you swipe your Magic Band, and it tells you the time to come back.
I don't know if that's going to get rid of lines, though.
I don't know that it would get rid of lines. Really cut down on lines, and B, the other thing that I think this sort of, especially at Volcano Bay, that this could possibly do, is all of a sudden now you are hanging out at the theme park for the whole day to start being able to ride stuff like 6 hours later.
So they're kind of doing what they did with Dumbo?
Yeah, well, kind of, except that Dumbo was like you go in, you play, and when your time came, your buzzer went off. You had to go through a line just to get to that point. This is you walk up to a kiosk and it tells you what time to come back.
Oh.
This is, I understand. I hope this works out because I think this would make the theme park experience much more pleasurable if this works out in a way that everybody figures out how to adopt it. I just don't see how that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't either. People are dumb.
People are dumb. So this was a very short episode because there was no Cat to keep the ship on track, and we were both in goofy moods. But you got an episode this week. What are you complaining about, right?
Yeah, so shut your pie holes.
Yeah, shut your pie holes. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.